consumed my weakness and found it deeper than the sea. But what is that to me? Got my eyes on you, my captain, and I'm finding you all that I need to guide me to my destiny. And I felt the wind blow, I felt the power flow, you're undefeatable. I've seen your fire burn, I've seen your keys turn, they are unbeatable. They cannot take my liberty, for you have made me free. They can take all my possessions, but they cannot take one thing from me, because you're my reality. And I felt the winds blow, I felt the power flow, you're undefeatable.
Tonight on this Friday night, the 20th of January, 2023. Yes, here we are together again, and glad to have you here. Lord bless you today, and hope that all is well with you right now, and that you will get encouraged in the Lord tonight and focus on Jesus. and be blessed by that. We do get all the newsletters out. If you're not getting one and you would like to have a newsletter, just go ahead and email me at theoasis1@localnet.com, and we will make sure you get one. All right, so let's go and have some news here as we begin tonight's broadcast. Here we go. Global persecutions of Christians is at an all-time high now. Yes, according to Open Doors, who started recording such acts 30 years ago, they're saying that the highest persecution they've ever seen, and perhaps in a long, long time, beyond 30 years, is going on right now of believers. So pray for your brothers and sisters, especially in some of the most persecuted countries, North Korea, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, and some countries in Africa are very bad, and others are borderline very bad, and some of them are just borderline being bad. We have persecution right here in America, so don't be surprised. Elon Musk said that the World Economic Forum is becoming an unelected world government pushing a satanic agenda. Yeah, what is that man really about? I looked at his mother. She looks very much like a witch, but I don't know. Over half of male to female transition patients suffer extreme pain and much more difficulties too, even years later. That's right, 55% of men who pursue the surgery report being in so much pain that they needed medical attention. Why would you do that in the first place? Yeah, if you're going to have pain and misery, even if you didn't have pain and misery, why? Well, here's some good news. The Decatur County Sheriff Department of Indiana announced around 40 baptisms and inmates turning their lives over to Jesus in the jail over the this month, the past month. That's amazing. So they're having a bit of a revival there, a renewal. There's something powerful going on there. And over the past 4 years, nearly 300 men and women have given their lives to Jesus there in that county jail. And the deputies and the sheriff rejoice. They must be Christians because they're rejoicing and praising the Lord for that as well. So praise God for people getting saved in the county jail. I pray they will continue on afterwards. Here's some persecution right here in America. The Mall of America security and management tell a man to remove his shirt that says, you know, Jesus is the only way because it's offending some shoppers. Either remove the shirt or leave the mall, they told him. Well, I thought this was America and you could wear whatever you want. Hey, wear your shirts boldly, folks, that exclaim Jesus and things about the Lord and salvation. Don't let yourself be intimidated by these people who yield to the woke culture and the deceived. Amy Grant defends, and this Amy Grant, unfortunately, is deceived. She defends hosting her niece's same-sex marriage wedding. She says, I love these brides. And she and her husband, Vince Gill, hosted it on their own farm. And so what a compromise. Even Franklin Graham said that she's not interpreting scripture correctly. Yeah. So Amy Grant has greatly compromised, along with a number of Christian musicians and pastors, unfortunately, but not all of them. I certainly wouldn't say all of them are doing that, but there's a lot who have, a number who have. Sheila Jackson Lee, this woman, who is a House of Representative woman from Texas, introduces legislation to strip freedom of speech from white people. It's simply a ploy to silence conservatives and truth tellers. That's right. She's not wanting white people to be able to say anything at all. But in Jesus' name, it will not pass. It's just a bill that she's introducing, legislation, a congresswoman from Texas. Yeah, why did she get elected there in a conservative, somewhat conservative state anyway? Here's megachurch Long Hollow Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Pastor Robbie Gallaty recently turned on a techno music during his sermon and got some glow sticks and started dancing on stage during his sermon. Interesting. That's different thing to get attention or entertain. What is that about? Gay presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg makes it clear that pro-life views are not welcome in the Democratic Party. And he insists that people who are pro-life have no place in the Democratic Party. That's what he believes, and that's what he insists. And he's going to run for president in 2024, and he won't get it in Jesus' name either. Tech industry already has laid off more than 25,000 in 2023, and we're only, 20 days into the month. And another survey is saying that worldwide they've already laid off 55,000 and more are coming from tech companies such as Google, Microsoft, and others. So, wow. It's going to be a lot of layoffs this year, it sounds like, for certain news of work. And we see things happening. But you know what? We know that the Lord has us in his hands, and he's promised to take good care of his children no matter what happens. So I'm going to be looking to him, like always, Jesus. I'll be looking unto him all the time. Trusting in him with all my heart, knowing that he's going to take good care of us all if we'll just trust him and not go freaking out and getting caught up in high anxiety, panic attacks, and all this other stuff that the enemy would have you be involved in. Yeah, so it's time to trust the Lord, folks. Time to trust him with all your heart. If you haven't learned to do that, it's time to start practicing and get to the place where you fully do trust the Lord. Because he's the only one that can bring you through all this stuff that goes on in the wicked world of darkness. He's the only one that can take good care of you in the midst of all this and even bless you in the land of famine. What did it say about Isaac? He sowed in famine and reaped a hundredfold. And that was when they were having famine back there in the Bible days, in the Old Testament. He faithfully sowed in a time of famine, and God just blessed him in the midst of a famine. So really, it doesn't really matter as much what's going on around you as it does what's going on inside of you and in the kingdom of God. That's really what really matters. And if you don't have that right, then things aren't going to be right living in this world system. That's for sure, as the world system has many things that come against the people of God already. But I tell you what, you know, God is going to do some wonderful things for his people in these latter days here that we're living in. As things get darker, these things are going to get brighter in the kingdom, and we're going to shine brighter. You know, that means we're going to see more of Jesus for those who are looking for him and looking, you know, toward the Lord. You're going to see things look brighter and brighter until the full day, because that's what the promise of the Lord is. He said that. We're going to shine brighter, brighter till that full day. So, and that's the day of his return. So praise God. We have a lot to be thankful for, folks. And in spite of all that might be looking so traumatic or so awful or all the things that the mainstream media and the other media is also talk about is how bad it's getting. But we need to also talk about what God is doing, how good it's going to get in Jesus for the church as we wind up these days before his return for us. All right, anyway, glad you're here with us here tonight, and Lord bless you. And we're going to pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for another opportunity to gather together and share the things of God with your people. And I do praise you, Lord, that you've given us this time here tonight. And I worship you. And Lord, I pray for people's provision tonight. Lord, if they'll just trust you, Lord, we pray that you would abundantly bless them. Lord, that they would have more than enough, Father. All of us would have more than enough. Lord, even when it looks like there isn't going to be anything, Lord, it shows up supernaturally from you, Lord. And we're just blessed. And we're just glad to see your blessing on us and provision for us in these times of inflation. And we see fuel going up again this week and all these things. But, Lord, you're going to provide. We're going to have enough to take care of all these needs and more than enough. And, Lord, I thank you for that, that, Lord, you're going to take good care of us. And, Lord, we put our trust in you and not in the dollar or the economies of mankind, the economies of this old world. When we put our trust in you, we live in a kingdom. So, Lord, we're in kingdom finance. And kingdom finance is more than enough. So we thank you for kingdom finance for your people, Lord, who will receive it and who will believe it. And we praise you for it, Lord. And we give you honor and glory for taking care of us real well during this time, Father. In Jesus' name. And we see things continuing to go down the road that they're trying to take it down. But in Jesus' name, confuse and divide their tongues, as it says in the Word, and bring them to naught, all these woke corporations, Lord, that they'll come unwoke and they will say no to this foolish belief system of darkness of the devil himself that has been propagated and promoted in so many areas of our society and business world as well. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for taking care of your people as far as their health is concerned and keeping them safe and sound and protected from all evil that you've promised you'd give your angel charge over us. Lord, and we thank you for that. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. We thank you, Lord, for your healing power. If there are those that are sick among us, Lord, we pray for them to be healed in the name of Jesus and overcome all sickness and disease in their body in Jesus' name. Yes, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for divine protection and a hedge of protection round about us, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for teaching us what you want us to know tonight, that we will hear the words of the Spirit tonight. And, Lord, we will grow, Lord, and mature by the Word, Father, and the things of your Word, Lord. And we'll be more like you, Jesus, more and more and more as we grow in grace and truth. Hallelujah. Now we cover the broadcast here tonight with the blood of Jesus. Everyone listening, with the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the truths about your blood, Lord. The power in the blood of Jesus, the power that you've given us through your precious blood. And Lord, we just loose the angels, take care of this time too, Lord, and be in charge of it, Lord, and have the Lord making sure the gospel of his kingdom has free course, Father, here tonight. In Jesus' name, we praise you. We worship you. We honor you. I pray for a man tonight that had a heart attack, Lord, and he's still not recovered and able to be able to talk properly. I pray you restore to him his communication skills and voice to where he can talk and communicate again in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Lord, for him, and that he won't have any more heart attacks, Lord, and that you'll draw him to you in spite of all the things that have tried to draw him away that you would bring him in, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that. I praise you. I pray for everybody who's married to spouses who are not born again, that their spouse would get born again, Father, in the name of Jesus, and would awaken out of their stupor. We bind the demons that have kept them in blindness and stupor in Jesus' name, and that they would come out of that darkness into your marvelous light and be born again. And give the people married to them grace and patience and tenderness and compassion, Lord, toward their lost mate so that they can be saved, and long-suffering as well. Father, we praise you for saving them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And thank you for this time that we have together tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, folks, are you ready? I'm going to talk about exposing self-righteousness. Amen. That's the title tonight. We're going to get into this, and I believe you'll be blessed by this, because I'm going to share some things that a lot of Christians hadn't thought of, but and not living in, certainly. But, you know, we're going to be set at greater liberty if you listen to this word. I believe that. And most of us started out right, maybe when we got born again. We were saved by grace, and then something happens to most Christians. And it happened back then in Paul's days, too, so much so that he mentioned it in Galatians. In Galatians 3:3, we'll start reading there. O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And we think we're growing and being made perfect by the flesh, and that doesn't happen. So what makes a person spiritual and what makes one fleshly? Well, good question. Let's answer that. A spiritual person is one who trusts in nothing but the blood for his righteousness. A fleshly person is one who has something, like keep the law, try to be righteous, and do whatever they can do in their own abilities to make themselves acceptable, what they think is acceptable unto God. And that don't work, but nevertheless, that's what they think. Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Safe. You ever think about that word? He's saying that what you're about to hear right now in this chapter of Philippians, which we're going to get into it here, is safe. And that he said it before. No, he did. This is not the first time he said this, but he said it before. So how many would like some safety in your walk with the Lord? Amen. Okay, so let's read verse 2 here. It said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. What's he talking about here? I don't think he's talking about Dobermans and German Shepherds, okay? So what's he talking about? What is the concision? Well, the concision, it actually means the cutting group. That's right. The law enforcers, that all men should be circumcised to be righteous. The evil workers are those who add laws to grace. That's what the evil workers, if you're wondering what that means, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision. Okay, so we see three dangerous folks that think they're, you know, righteous, of their own accord, of their works. And we need to be on guard about them and beware about them. Okay? So the cutting group, right? And then the evil workers and the concision and the circumcision. Saying that you had to be circumcised to be, you know, a Christian back then. And so if a person adds a law, even one law to the gospel of grace, Paul titled them as dogs and evil workers. Hey, you know, I'm pretty nice. I don't go around calling everybody dogs and evil workers, right? But how many were raised in a family like that? Legalism, harsh, strict, Yeah, a lot of, I mean, it's not as unusual as you might think if you weren't raised in one like that. There's a lot of this going on, okay? A lot of Christians who are very legalistic and have ridiculous laws and rules in their own home, okay? And they put so much on their children, and they cause so much pain and suffering within their family because of this. Let's read verse 3 now as we keep going through this chapter. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. See, it's not about your flesh. It's not about all the rules and the laws and the things that you can force upon your family or yourself to make yourself do this, do that. I mean, this shows it's not out of context here, this verse, because it says that we are the circumcision. In other words, we have become what was demanded, whether we've had an outward circumcision or not, because it's done of the Spirit. See, under the law, you had to do something to be something. That's right, you had to do something to be something, but no longer. Why is that? Well, you are who you are, not because of what you do, but because of that you're in Christ Jesus, that you've been born again. You're righteous because you're in Christ. And see, in Christ, we have rest because we are what we are because of what we are in Him, not because of what we do. So when you really find out what you are, you can be what you are. See, what you believe about yourself is what will come out of yourself. Good, bad, or ugly, whatever, right, wrong, or righteous. You know, what you believe about yourself, what's coming out. And Paul said, we are the circumcision who worship Him in the Spirit. Now, what is worshiping God in the Spirit? Is it la-la land, way out there somewhere? That may be fun at times, but that's not worshiping in the Spirit. Okay? If you're in the Spirit, you're worshiping Him from the position of righteousness by faith. Hallelujah. I worship the Lord from my position in God, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I worship Him in the Spirit because of my position in the Spirit. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, that's certainly in the Spirit. See? And so we have a position of righteousness by faith. So what are you doing if you're worshiping in the flesh? You know, we don't worship in the flesh, but some Christians do. So what are you doing? What are you doing when you're worshiping in the flesh? Okay? Well, you're worshiping based on believing that your performance is what is determining your relationship with God. Right? That's what you're doing. See, let me say it again. You're worshiping based on believing that your performance is what is determining your relationship with God. But we don't have that kind of relationship, and we need to grow up to that. This is not a Spooksville, okay? It's a positionville, right? From the place of knowing you are righteous by faith without your work, without straining and trying to be a better person all the time, trying to fix this, fix that, and always be trying harder to make God pleased with you when He's already pleased with you and loves you as much as He's ever going to love you, right? You know, I used to teach God and inhabit the praises of His people. And, you know, there may be some truth to that, but doesn't the Bible say that? I mean, no. What does it really say? That God inhabits the praises of Israel. And so, really, why did He tell Israel that? Because that's as close as He could get at that time under the Old Covenant, because God will only dwell in that which He determines is perfect. So He said, offer up a perfect praise, and I want to be close to you. But if I can't live in you, because if I because it would kill you, right? Because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. If He came and lived in Him, you know, before Jesus made a way for God to come and live in us, it would probably, you know, kill Him. He couldn't live in Him. But see, now Father sees Jesus and His wrath and all of that is you know, taken care of in Jesus going to the cross and bearing our sins and iniquity. So, yeah. So, this is kind of interesting, right? So, he said, offer up perfect praise. And so he inhabit those perfect praises, but he didn't live in them yet because they weren't ready. Jesus hadn't come yet. So does Jesus inhabit the praises of Christians? Why would he? He's already inhabiting the Christians, right? I mean, in a sense, you could say that he does because he's living in you already now, if you've been born again, because you have something much greater that God has created a temple to dwell in, and that's you. And, of course, the temple does worship God. I hope your temple is worshiping God, right? Because, you know, the Bible says to give thanks always, you know, and to praise and worship him. So, come on. What ought to be going on in your temple? Grumbling and griping and groaning and whining? That's what goes on in a lot of Christian temples. That's what they're busy doing most of the time. They rarely put a praise in their lips. But in their spirit, Jesus lives there. You think maybe sometimes they grieve the Holy Spirit? He did, said he'd never leave you nor forsake you, but boy, you could sure grieve the Holy Spirit. So he now inhabits us, right? You're not creating a suitable place for God to dwell in. God created his own place to dwell in, and it's you. Because of Jesus, he was able to do that. And hey, if God dwells in your praises, where is he when you're not praising? Uh-oh, huh? So if he's just dwelling in your praises, but no, he dwells within us. He's dwelling in our spirit now. He set up house there. You know, you don't go into emergency praise to get God to show up. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you now that he lives inside of you. Some people just praise you. I'm just going into emergency situations. And yeah, you could praise God. There's nothing wrong with that, and you should do it all the time, especially in emergency situations. But hey, he lives in you all the time. Remember that. Jesus is living in you all the time, not just sometimes. Philippians 3:3 again, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, because we are in the Spirit. We're a spiritual being, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, see? So we're now in the Spirit, and we can worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in your flesh. See, if you believe that there is something that you could do in your flesh to gain God's favor, you need to get rid of that kind of confidence, folks, because it's a deceptive confidence. It's wrong, okay? It's wrong. And you cannot, you know, do anything in your flesh, out of your flesh. The Bible says in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. So how are you going to please God with something that dwells no good thing in? You're going to have to come out of the Spirit where the good thing already dwells, see? If you're going to please God, and it has to be the fruit of the Spirit anyway, not the fruit of the flesh. Let's read a couple more verses here. Verse 4, Philippians 3:4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. See, he's just being, trying to explain something here, because circumcised, you know, talking about stuff he did in the flesh. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of a Hebrew, that touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So this is all the things he did. He was, you know, talking about how he could boast in the flesh. And Paul's saying, boy, man, I kept the law. I was even blameless in the eyes of the law, but not in God's eyes. In fact, verse 7, what did he say about all that? He said what he said is, but what things were gained to me, see, they were gained to him in his flesh, those I counted lost for Christ. He said they're nothing to me. They're all lost for Christ because they were worthless. All that stuff that I did in my flesh, all the things I gained, all the education I got, all this stuff was nothing to God. And Paul is saying, man, look at me, you know. But in the two briefest verses, what I did it all. But you know what? It wasn't enough, because none of the righteousness of man will ever attain what you get by a free gift of God because of Jesus on the cross. And here's where we Americanize the Word of God, really. That's right. What things were gained to me? Well, I had a good job. I had popularity. I had a lot of women. I just, you know, gave it all up for Jesus. Oh, man, listen to my testimony. But see, that's not what Paul's talking about. What did Paul give up? Paul gave up the idea and confession that he had any righteousness at all, even though he was blameless, supposedly, in the eyes of the law before he came to Christ. He said, I count all that, but which was gained to me as lost in Christ. My own attainments of righteousness were nothing. Nothing. That's what he's saying. It was nothing. All that stuff that I try to do to make God pleased with me, all this stuff that I pursue. And what did he say in verse 8? He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ Jesus. Yeah, so he counts them all as number two, as refuse, something you flush down the toilet. He counts them all as that. That's what he thought about it. All the accomplishments, all these great things that he thought he did for himself is who it was for. It wasn't for God. God didn't get anything out of it. Okay? He didn't get anything out of it. And now he gets it, right? So I'm going to ask you today, can you count not your sex sin and drugs and all that, but can you count all the things that you've done to gain God's favor as done? All your so-called good works, all your so-called trying so hard to please him, your extra prayers, your giving up this and that, fasting 40 days or 20 days or 2 days or whatever. Can you count all that as done? So how do I win Christ then? If it's all done, if it's all refused, how do I win Christ? Well, the day you count all your obedience to the law to gain God's favor and approval, you're doing to make God love you and accept you, all that doing that you've done to make God love and accept you more, you give that up, and then you've won. You know, you've won. You like to win? Or really, if you want to win, you got to lose, right? They that love their life shall lose it. They that hate their life shall gain it. To live, you've got to die. That's the key here in the scripture here that we don't like to see. That's right. Yeah, and then the result is verse 9. Let's read it, verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This is what it's about, folks. It's the righteousness which is of God, not your own self-righteousness. That will never appeal to God. And that will never appease you to God. Okay? So you got to realize what's going on here. See? You're already in Christ Jesus now, if you're born again, will you be found in him? Have you found yourself in him yet? I mean, this all goes back to the garden. You know, Adam didn't fully understand what happened in the garden, okay? But he did eventually start getting it, of course. But he didn't fully understand right away. Did God say, don't eat of the tree of evil? No, he didn't say, don't eat of the tree of evil. And that's what we all think of many times. Oh, that was a tree of evil. No, it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So good and evil are both bad in that case, right? don't eat of that tree, eat of the tree of life only. That's where you're supposed to be eating. And even now, as a Christian, you don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But a lot of Christians are doing that, and they're messing themselves up because of that, because they think that the good of a tree is God, and it's not. You got to eat of a tree of life. That's what God. What's God? That's what is God. Okay, so how can good and evil both be bad then? Well, if you use either one of them to determine your relationship to God, that's, they're both bad. Even if you use good to try to determine who you are in God's eyes, the whole tree is still bad fruit, okay? Most people think that, well, God taught, God thought, well, oh, stinky sinner. That's what he thought about him. He said, oh, stinky sinner, I don't want nothing to do with mankind. No, that's not what happened at all. Because of Adam and Eve's sin and the people who lived after them and their sin. It's not what happened. Who had an appointment to meet with God and walk with God in the cool of the evening that day? And who didn't show up for that appointment? Think about it. Who didn't show up for that appointment? It was Adam. Adam, you know, Adam, where are you? Adam, why were you hiding from me? Because I'm naked, God. Well, weren't you naked yesterday and when I was here also walking with you in the evening? Adam had a total misconception of what was wrong between him and God. What gave him that misconception? What was it that did that? It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See? You know what God told Adam when Adam said, I am naked? What's the thing he told them that really, you know, we need to take into our lives every day of our life and examine things? He said, who told you that? He said, who told you that? That's what he asked, Adam, who told you that you were naked? Who told you this stuff? Where did you get this information from anyway? Huh? Who told you that? He said, who told thee that thou was naked? And we need to take this into consideration in our own lives and say, you know, all these things that go on in our minds. Who told you that? Who told you that? God's still saying that in the church today. When you say, well, how can God still love me because I did that or I did this? I divorced so-and-so. I got drunk. I failed at that. I said this and that. I feel unworthy. I had a fight with my husband or my wife. And I feel so unworthy now. God's saying, Phil, if you listen to him, who told you that? Who told you that? Right? What had Adam gotten involved in? I'll tell you what he got involved in. Self-righteousness, because that's what good and evil, you know, good, the tree of knowledge of good and evil would do. It'll bring you into self-righteousness because you're trying to do it on your own. Trying to be good on your own ability, see? See, how was Paul found in Christ? Go back to Philippians 3. What did it say? Philippians 3, verse 9. Let's go back there. 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, see? Hallelujah. So how was Paul found in Christ? Not having his own righteousness. That's the only way we're going to be found in Christ. Not having our own righteousness. Not by having our own righteousness. No. We're going to have to give up our own righteousness, folks, because that is partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Does it say not having my cigarettes in my pocket? Is that what it says there? Or not having... You know, is that how they were found in him? Or reading our Bible 5 hours every day, is that how I'm found in him? No, that's not what it says. Hallelujah. It says not having my own righteousness. You know, trying to have your own righteousness, man, is awful before a Father. I mean, really, it doesn't bring you into the presence of God at all. Only having his righteousness can bring you in. Let's face it, how many of you have really had a problem really seeing yourself in Christ? Why is that? Because you haven't got rid of all your own self-righteousness picked up from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're still clinging to that. You're still feeding on that tree. Let go and embrace the faith of Christ. I mean, how are we made close to Jesus by praying more, by fasting more, by giving this or that up, by studying more. I mean, these are all good things and may be done by the Spirit of God working in you. But Paul said, we draw nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. So how do we draw nigh to the Lord? You can't get closer by, all this works of the flesh, these things that you do out of your own self-righteousness, out of the tree of the knowledge of the good, taking and partaking of the good. No, that's not how you do it. You get closer. You really can't get any closer than you are by the blood of Jesus. Now, you get a revelation of the closeness that you already have. And begin to live in that closeness, see, and get out of a lot of the things where you're being dominated by the flesh and dominated by your own self-righteousness and just self-justifications in your life. He's in you and you're in him. How much closer can you get than that? See? It's about getting more knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. So, that's what's going on in the church today. We got people just hearing today from somebody that was always, speaking up to the pastor, a pastor out in the church in another state in the Northwest. And she was always, when the pastor would teach something, she always had to say something. This woman always had to say something. She always had to speak out her mind and what she thought was right. That's kind of a rebellious Jezebel spirit, isn't it? Or just a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of unteachableness that I'm right in my own self-righteousness? I mean, it could be any of those three things, really. But, what's wrong there? There's something seriously wrong with that woman, that she's always having to speak up and speak out what she thinks is right and contradict the pastor. So, there's battles in the local churches, right? The enemy's trying to raise his ugly head any way he can. So we know that. Of course, we've been doing this, be 40 years this year. So he's in you and you're in him. How much closer than that can you get? So what are you doing, brother? Well, I'm just getting closer to God. Well, how? Well, I guess I need to change my ways. No, you need a revelation of how close you really are in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what you need. You need the Holy Spirit to quicken things, and then you need to receive it when he does and not just shut him down and go back to your own self-righteous works. No. A revelation of the blood. And I know this upsets religion and our self-righteousness, but you know what? It'll free you today. Let's proclaim the blood today. Amen. Let's renounce our own self-righteousness today. That is so important, folks. I can't tell you enough how important this is. If you're going to walk in freedom and deliverance and all these things, God is still saying to us today about all the garbage that goes on in our minds. Who told you that, right? I mean, this is a major problem we all deal with, is the invasion of our mind daily with demons and devil-based plants, okay? They're devil-based plants or implants into the mind. And that's what everybody deals with. And if we listen to the Spirit, we notice he's telling us, who told you that? But see, we just buy right into it. And I'm going to tell you why here in a minute here, okay? I'm going to give you some understanding about why you buy into it, okay? This is the major problem we all deal with, is the invasion of our minds, see? And the enemy's still planting stuff in our minds that are lies based on the tree that caused Adam and Eve all kinds of problems. And God is still saying to us, who told you that? Even if we don't hear him say that to us, the word tells us that where did you get that information from, right? If it's not word, if it's not lining up with the word of God, it's wrong. I mean, it's that simple. If it's not lining up with a word, it's wrong. See, demons try to have the dominance in our minds daily. In a way, they do, though, in a way, because you're constantly being bombarded in your mind with thoughts, with implants, implanted thoughts, in other words, moment by moment sometimes. I mean, we do have our own thoughts, and we also have God thoughts sometimes, but we so often hear more thoughts from the demonic realm Because what happened? I mean, we live in this world. We're used to living in this world. We were born into this world. And really, we have to program ourselves to live in the heavenlies by the Spirit of God within us. We have to be reprogrammed, see, to live in the heavenlies, in the kingdom of God by the Spirit through the Word. This can take place, and it should be taking place. If it's not, you're not growing properly. And you've got stunted growth going on. But see, we're prone to think worldly because we were born into this world, right? Feeding from the tree of knowledge of good and evil from our very birth moment, because we were born in sin, as David said. Okay? He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So we must be born again. How many know no one was born into this world born again? You know, I've asked a number of people over the years, when did you get born again? These are claiming to be Christian people, some that even went to our church over the years. And I asked them, you know, question them, to a number of them, when did you get born again? Oh, I've been a Christian all my life. As long as I can remember, I've been a Christian. No, you haven't. This tells me that you might be religious and raised in church but never got truly born again, that you are self-righteous. Hell, I know that I got born again at such and such a time in my life, and I know it was an experience that was life-changing. It was an experience that I knew I had come out of the darkness into the light. I may not have known a lot about what happened because I didn't know the Word that well, but, you know, I knew that something had happened. And if you tell me, oh, I've just always been a Christian, you know, then you know, I've got to say, really? I think we need to get you born again. I think we need to pray. And I've got that answer many times from different people that I have asked over the years. Well, it's not possible to be born into this world born again. Everyone must have a point in time that they ask Jesus to come into their life and repent for sin. So people are comfortable in the world system and hearing the voices of devils. Why? Because they were born into this world. And that is what they've been hearing all their life. That's what they're used to all their life. So it takes discernment of spirits to even begin to discern the thought life. And it takes time in the Word of God to begin to discern your thought life. See, even after being born again, a Christian needs to start eating of the tree of life and stop eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or they will be self-righteous and stay in bondage all their life as a Christian. They may be born again, right? But they are still living out of the wrong tree after they got born again. You need to pursue knowing the Word of God to live from the right tree, see? Too many Christians are biblically illegitimate is what I see. Or they know the Word of God religiously from the wrong tree, see. And that isn't doing them much good because, you know, religion is a kind of bondage, okay, living religiously instead of relationally. Like some Christians who were raised in a religious home from the wrong tree, right? One told me about a home where the dad was so strict, so religious, you could not even let his daughter use a pair of scissors on Sunday. I mean, to cut a piece of paper or to cut open a bag of food or whatever. I mean, there are more than we think, again, that live this way, like I told you earlier in the message here. And they promote a wrong legalistic view of God to others, and they mess up a lot of people, and they need a lot of deliverance because they were raised that way in this legalistic religious home in such a strict condition, and now they're needing all this deliverance because they saw God wrong all their life, and they picked up a bunch of devils through that, because that always leads to demonization when you're raised in something like that. Okay? I mean, really? You must be circumcision. You must be circumcised. No, circumcision counts for nothing. Wake up, see? All this, you must be. You must do this. You must, you know, wake up. Demons have bamboozled a lot of Christians today with this demonic tree of knowledge of good and evil garbage. Well, how then? Well, with wrong thoughts dominating their mind. Wrong thoughts produce what? Wrong beliefs, and wrong beliefs produce wrong actions, and wrong actions produce wrong ways of living and relating to others and relating to God. See, and so we see a lot of people in that condition. You know, you need to just, you know, find out what kind of life these people that you're trying to minister to were raised in. Were they raised in a religious home? And now they just want to do whatever. See, that's one of the problems with people who are raised in a religious home. They just want to do whatever they want now, and they just have a spirit of rebellion. See, but you're rebelling against God when you're living that way, see? Because how many know that we don't do just whatever we want? We are led by the Spirit, and the Spirit isn't going to lead us to do whatever we want and say whatever we want and act any way we want to act, right? The Spirit of God, the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, and the love of God constrains us. What constrains us? The love of God, not legalism, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil and all the good works that we think we could do, being religious and trying to obey God out of our flesh, which is impossible, because how can that which has no good thing dwelling in it, which Paul said about his own flesh, he had things dwelling in him, right, demons. Paul had demons. We have demons, you know. The great apostle Paul didn't have any demons, Pastor. What are you talking about? Well, the Bible said it, and Paul said it himself in the Bible, that no good thing dwells. It's talking about something alive in him, right? And if Paul had demons, then you have a problem thinking that you might have some demons? Of course you do. Everybody does. I haven't met anybody that didn't have demons yet, okay? So, right, these wrong thoughts dominating their mind. What are we going to do? Where'd you get that from? You know, who told you that? Remember, Jesus is telling you, who told you that? So you need to start paying attention to what you think and examine the thoughts with the Word of God, folks. We're told that we should do that in the Word, and this is under grace. That we're told this. And how do we do it? We do it by the Spirit. We can't do it on our own ability, right? But, you know, should I go sin just because, you know, I can? No. It's not expedient, Paul said, for you to do that. Not good for you to do that. But you can't change yourself by legalism. You can't change yourself by your own ability. The Bible tells us we're changed by the Spirit of God. So what is it saying here in 2 Corinthians 10? It says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it says, bringing into captivity every thought. This is what we're talking about tonight. Every thought. Who told you that? What was that thought? Who put that there? Who planted that and planted that into your mind? Where did you get that information from? Did it come from the heavenly realm of the Spirit, or did it come from the demonic realm? Or was it just a thought you thought of? And who influenced you to think of it, though, if it's a thought you thought of? So you got to examine even the thoughts that you come up with, because there is influences in the mind that you need to be aware of. See, that's what we're talking about. So you need to start taking captive demon-implanted thoughts and implants and grabbing them up and casting them out and rejecting them. Take them prisoner. Cast them out of your mind. Go round them up. And lock them up and cast them out, reject them. They will only give you problems if you allow them to remain in your life. They're only going to continue to give a problem to your life. And that's why believers have so many problems, because they're so used to listening to the enemy, because they were born listening to the enemy. And they grew up listening to the enemy. And they don't discern the Spirit that is speaking, because they haven't been in the Word of God, and because of their upbringing, in many cases, they're prone toward a certain way of living, and they bring that into the local church. They defile the local church with that, because, and already there's nobody perfect in the local church, but some come in and bring defilement in for everybody because of what they're carrying. And we need to be on guard about that. And we need to, as a pastor, we need to guard those who God has entrusted unto us. Right? That's right. And so what goes on in the local church? Well, I won't tell you what goes on. Let's look over here in Acts chapter 2. But this is not just a local church. It should be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever it is. This could speak to all situations, really. Every Christian, this is what ought to go on. Here, Acts 2:37. Let's start here reading. It says here, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do?" Well, Peter gave them the answer in verse 38, in which he laid down God's standard from there until the end of the age, from then until the end of the age. Okay? Let's see, read it. "Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." There it is, right there. And so we see what? We see repentance. That's totally New Testament to have repentance. It's part of the basic apostle doctrine of the New Testament church. Right? They were still teaching it in Acts chapter 20, verse 21. And, you know, some people have not repented, and they need to repent. They've just, winked at their own sin. And you know, Luke 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So what do we have? It's the first word of the gospel through faith. I mean, repent. Until one has repented, one hasn't repented, right? Some people never repent when they get born again because of easy believism, right? They never were led into repentance. Okay? Water baptism, by full immersion, was not an option in the early church, but a command of Jesus to the apostles and the apostles. And Jesus commanded baptism before he ascended in Matthew 28. He says, "And baptizing." Right? That was part of it. Baptizing. Okay? And so we see that there's about seven records in Acts and seven in the epistles of water baptism. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is so important. This is something that we are seeing less and less of. People receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is important. You know, Paul says, "I pray in tongues daily. And I pray in tongues more than you all." So he had to be praying in tongues daily, right? So he's praying in tongues more than all of them. Let's go over to Acts 19. Acts 19. And we'll read from, let's see, what verse do I want to read here? I'm going to read Acts 2:3. 19:2-3. "He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism." Okay, so we're going to jump on down here to verse 5 and 6. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." See, that's what happens when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "Well, I don't want to speak in tongues." Well, then you're not going to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit then, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. Paul said, "I spoke in tongues more than you all." Okay? And that's how the apostles knew that they had received the Holy Spirit. When the Gentiles got saved, they started speaking in tongues, right? When they received the Holy Ghost, that's how they knew they had received the Holy Ghost, because they're speaking in tongues. In Acts 10:44-47. See, Paul had received the Holy Spirit gift because he said in Corinthians that I'm speaking more than you all in tongues. So many are watering this down today, and of course demons are behind it, because demons hate the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They don't want you going around praying in tongues, right? They don't want that. They're afraid of that. They don't like it. When I do deliverance and pray in tongues over people, the demons get stirred up. They don't like that. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sure, you're born again when you believe on Jesus and repent and turn to him. Yeah, and give your life over to him. You'll get born again, but you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You just received the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples did when Jesus, before he left, after he rose from the dead, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he also told them to wait in Jerusalem until he received the power from on high, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was two different things. Okay? The born again Holy Spirit, which you have, the Holy Spirit, but then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which comes at a latter point. It can happen close to the other, but it doesn't many times, okay? So that's important that you have that. And I mean, you could downplay it all you want, and you'll still go to be with Jesus, you know, if you're born again. But still, you need the power. You shall receive power from on high, the Bible said, right? How many need some power today? The devil sure manifested a lot of power there. So where's the power? We got to say, well, where is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Where is people that are speaking in tongues daily and more than everybody else? I mean, like Paul, see, where is that at today? I pray in tongues every day myself. What about anybody? I pray right now. I mean, I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm not afraid to speak out in tongues. See? It's God, man. It's part of a manifestation of God living in you. You shouldn't be ashamed of your baptism of the Holy Spirit, ashamed of tongues, embarrassed. That's like being embarrassed about Jesus. Huh? And the next thing is the apostle doctrine. This has got to be continued in. And they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, Acts 2:42. And fellowship. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. These are things that are important that we ought to be partaking of as a believer. The apostle doctrine is defined simply in Hebrews 6:1-2. The seven steps, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, heaven and hell are real, okay, and it will happen. In the future, somebody's going to go to heaven. Somebody's going to go to hell. Perfection of the saints, knowing our righteousness. That's so important. Knowing our righteousness, not self-righteousness. We don't need to know that. We need to recognize it and get rid of it. Knowing our righteousness, which includes freedom from law, legalism, and religious performance, and all of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, the New Testament church recognized the importance of sound doctrine. They told us that in the last days, many will depart from the faith, being seduced by doctrines of devils. How many know that doctrines of devils have entered into churches today? Many churches are entertaining doctrines of devils today. And I'm not saying all churches. Certainly not. I wouldn't say that, because I know that there are a lot of godly men and women ministering in churches today. Okay? But there is doctrines of demons that have slipped into many, like Amy Grant, you know, letting her niece get married on her farm, and she was the host, and she played music for it and said, well, I love the two misses, you know, and saying that that's okay, you know, really putting her approval on it. And okay, compromise. Doctrines of devils is slipping into the churches today more and more. And we hear about them all the time, these things going on. Like Beth Moore and her compromise and embracing LGBTQ. I mean, come on. This stuff is just compromise and doctrines of devils that has been moving in. And people are going off and believing some lie that came from thoughts in their mind because they didn't, like gay Pentecostal. What's a gay Pentecostal? Yeah, I mean, I've cast out demons of false tongues before out of people. So they weren't really speaking in the tongues of heaven. They were talking in the tongues of demons, okay? And so because there's not, I mean, you can't be a gay Pentecostal. That's ridiculous. Not doctrinally sound, okay? Or how about ultimate reconciliation? There is no hell. There's a number of books out that says there is no hell and that God's going to ultimately save even the devil. Where do they get this nonsense from? I'll tell you where they get it from. Right out of the pits of darkness. They get it right out of a devil's mouth. You know, who told you that, see? God's still saying it, but people are not listening. Who told you that? Who told you that? Where did you get this information from? What are you listening to? What tree are you eating from? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So what are we talking about? Fellowship. We saw that in Acts. That's part of a New Testament Christianity. There should be fellowship. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with one another. Fellowship with his suffering. So if we are in fellowship with the Father, with his Son, we should be in fellowship with one another, right? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth God, you know, hey, and he that loveth not God, right? I mean, I'm not quoting exact, but trying to get it right. But I'm just quoting off the mind. But see, when a person wrongs you, how you react toward them will depend on whether you're in fellowship with the Father or not. How many knows that? Some people are just getting in unforgiveness because they're not in fellowship with the Father, and they react in the wrong way, and they're thinking the wrong way. Listen, you need to stay in fellowship with the Father. I don't care what happens in life. You need to stay in fellowship with the Father. Well, this happened to me. This terrible thing happened to me. You know? Hey, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So stay in fellowship with the Father. Stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit so that you don't get bitter, so you don't get unforgiving, so you don't get yourself in a position that you should not be in. See? And it's easy to do because, I mean, know that you get offended in life. You get things happen where people can offend you. Yeah. I tell you, the different something that happened to me this week that I could have been offended about, but I said, no, praise you, Lord. I'm in fellowship with you. And I'm not going to let this offend me, even though it is a personal attack on me. I'm not going to let it offend me. See, when a person wrongs you, what are you going to do? You know, when something bad happens in life, what are you going to do? If you have the character of God, you'll keep on praising him, and you'll be merciful and say, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand me. They don't understand the situation. They, you know, there are some that doesn't mean you have to go move in with them when you forgive them, of course. Doesn't mean that you have to make them your bosom buddy and let them do whatever they want in the church if you're in a local church. I mean, obviously you can't. But you got to forgive them. You got to have mercy on them. You got to pray that the Lord open their eyes and their understanding. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing. And there's some that we are not to have much fellowship among us too. Also, the Bible speaks to those like that we're just not to have fellowship with. Let's go over to Romans 16. And we'll look here at verse 17 and 18. It said, now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Tag them is what that means. Okay? Avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. What does that mean, belly? Belly speaks of the emotions. They're serving their own emotions. They're serving their own feelings, in other words, right? That's what it's telling us right here. When we say emotions are belly, then they're serving their own feeling. Well, I don't feel that way about it, Pastor. I don't feel that way about it, brother, sister. I don't feel that way about it. Well, this is what I feel. Or they won't tell you what they feel sometimes, but they just don't agree with you and the word, see? So they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple, or those that are not spiritually discerning, right? And there are those like that in the church today. They'll follow anybody. They'll follow any teaching. And they just buy into it, right? Like somebody, you know, told me, and I looked at their webs or their posting and told me that God has divorced America. God has divorced the United States. Somebody told me that this person is saying that God told them that. Well, first of all, God is not married to America. So how can he divorce what he isn't married to? Okay? The Bible says the church, you know, and the New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ, see? And we're going to inhabit the New Jerusalem, so that's his bride. But if you're not a part of the church, then how's he going to divorce what he isn't, you know? And the other side of that is, really, if God has divorced America, then that means he's not going to save any of them anymore. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not be, you know, perish, but have everlasting life. So if that's the case, then John 3:16 no longer true for America. I tell you, some of these prophets and prophetesses, they're missing God, okay? I tell you, you know, God is still saving people. Like I just told you about the 40 people who were born again in the county jail in Indiana. You know, God is still saving people, folks. Whatever you think about it, I don't know, but God is still saving people. And he hasn't divorced America. I don't believe that. Sure, America is sinful, you know. But what does the Bible say? Where sin abound, grace abound. Isn't that what it says? And we could also say where sin abound, grace abound, because, hey, God is merciful to the sinners. He wants them to get saved. He loves them, okay? He loved the whole world that he forgave the sins of the whole world if they'll just but receive him and repent and come to him. But see, the hearts of many is hard. But that doesn't mean that people aren't going to get saved in these last days, because what is one of the keys of the return of the Lord? He says, when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached into the whole world, then he's coming back, right? Do you think of the implications of what that means when the gospel of the kingdom is preached into the whole world? That means there's going to be a worldwide gospel preaching everywhere. I mean, before he comes back. That's a powerful thing, because, you know, what happened when Paul preached the gospel? There were signs and wonders and miracles. So I'm looking for many signs, wonders, and miracles as the gospel gets preached to the whole world. And I want many of them to flow. I mean, I want signs and wonders and miracles to flow through me more and more than they have. And sure, I've had them, but I want more of them, see? And so, yeah, we can expect that. But notice it said to avoid certain ones. They cause a division and strife and confusion because they're living under the ministration of the thoughts of demons. Okay? For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus, but their own belly of it. Their own emotions, their own feelings. And yet they deceive many because they're under the control of demons. See? And it says just avoid them. You know, don't put up with it. They're selfish. They're not out for the kingdom, but they're out for themselves. You know, there are people like that in the churches and in the body of Christ today. They're not out for the kingdom of God. They're out for themselves. They're out for making a name for themselves. They're out there for trying to make, you know, different reasons to get attention getting. Maybe they have a lot of rejection. They want attention. You know, I've known people that have been in ministry that they had spirits of rejection and they wanted attention. That's why they liked the ministry, because they wanted attention. See? But these people, they serve and submit to their own belly, which means their own emotions and feelings. You know, I don't like him or her, so I'll just destroy them. I'll pray them out of here. Pray the Lord takes them home and kills them. But avoid them. Break the curses that they speak, but avoid them. Perhaps they'll come to repentance. Okay? Perhaps. Anyway, I move on past this. We're running out of time here. So breaking of bread. The early church met every Sunday, and they broke bread. They had communion, and the Bible clearly tells us, even to forsake not the assembly together and have communion and all that. And next is prayer and praise. And we're gathering together here on the live church service here tonight, so we're gathering here, okay? But listen, at least 17 chapters in Acts have some references to prayer, okay? A prayerless church is a powerless church, right? And so the church that was born in prayer, his house is to be called a house of prayer, the Bible says. And the Bible says the prayers of the saints are the incense upon the golden altar in the heavenly temple. So, hey, that's powerful. If we'll just pray and God's people will take time praying, you know, all things are possible. See, those who are praying and believe. So I want to go over these things so that you could be grounded and know what will help ground you, because there is so much deception right now. And the word clearly says in the last days that there will be many who are deceived. So we need to be on guard. We need to watch what you allow to go on in your mind. For much of it is going to keep you in bondage. If you don't watch what's going on there, much of what goes on there will keep you in bondage to demons. Because the mind is the place where the major battles of your life are going to be fought, right? And that's just ongoing, too. You have a battle today, but you're going to have another battle tomorrow in the mind. The mind's going to have to battle and remove those thoughts that are not in alignment with the Word of God every day of your life. Okay? Every day of your life. And so I was doing some hard work this week, and I had the thought pass in my mind, oh, you're too old for doing all this hard work. You don't need to be doing this. I said, hey, I recognize that. My youth is renewed like the eagle. I shall run and not be weary. You know, and I had to use the scripture, but I know the scripture so I can answer these thoughts with scripture. And that's what Jesus did. When the devil come and planted those things, them temptations, and told him these things, he answered with the word, right? And see, we need to answer with the word. And we need to recognize that's just from the enemy. Oh, yeah, you poor, I could have indulged in that. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't do this anymore. This is too hard. This is too heavy. This is too weighty and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you get agreement with those thoughts, see? And that's what a lot of people do because they don't recognize it's the enemy. They just think they're thinking, a daily thinking going on in their mind. That's right. So ground is either going to be gained or it's going to be lost in the mind. And we fight those battles up out of our spirit in the mind. And you need to be loving God's word and feeding on God's word if you're going to win these battles. And if you're neglecting the word of God, then, hey, the enemy is gaining ground in your life. That's just the way it is. If you're neglecting the word of God, the enemy is gaining ground. If you're in the word of God spiritually, then you're gaining ground on the enemy. Okay? But if you're neglecting the word, you'll be more easily tricked by the enemy and even possibly deceive. And most Christians, I'm going to tell you, most Christians neglect the Word of God. They neglect the Word of God. They do. And this makes for a weak and defeated Christian. So isn't any wonder that certain people falling into certain traps. So we're going to have to learn to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not our might. Recognize it's not from the tree of knowledge of good, no matter how good it is, the good and evil in that tree. It's from the Lord and from the tree of life. That's what we need to be feeding on day by day by day, the tree of life. Feed on the tree of life. And the power of his might is in the tree of life. It's not our might that we're going to defeat the enemy. We're going to be strong in the power of his might, and we're going to defeat the enemy through the weapons of our warfare that he gave us that are not carnal but mighty through God. If they're not carnal, they're spiritual, see? If something is not carnal, what is it? Okay? Well, he said, my weapons are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not of this world. They're spiritual. Right? Because God is a spirit. Well, is it any wonder that his weapons are spiritual then? If God is a spirit, then his weapons must be spiritual because God is spirit. So it's not our might, it's his might and his spiritual might. And the devil, you know, he is dark and evil and unseen by most people. And he's fighting with his darkness and the power of darkness. But see, we're fighting with the power of the Lord, which is light. And light is stronger than darkness. If we'll fight in these truths and these realities, we will break the back of the devil in our situation. These demons, it's really not the devil himself that we're dealing with. It's with demons, okay? that we're dealing with each one of us individually. We're not most as important where the devil is going to come in and visit you every week. The devil himself, Satan, he can only be in one place at once. He's not omnipresent like the Lord is. He's omnipresent. He could be wherever, anywhere, and in a million places at the same time. That's amazing. I mean, know that the Holy Spirit's in you and me and millions of other brothers and sisters throughout the world all at the same time. That is an awesome thing, isn't it? I mean, how great is our God? So time is short, saints. Don't waste it. Recognize this, that time is short. Recognize Jesus is coming back, that we're living in the last days. And take your time getting strong in him, and then maintain it. Let it be maintained by the Spirit of God in you, as you, by the Spirit of God in you, are changing from glory to glory, as you, by the Spirit of God in you, are letting him clean you up and deliver you and change you, see, and do a good work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. See, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God in you. That's what we need to depend on, not our self-righteousness and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You still eat of the wrong tree then. And you're not going to have success like you could in the kingdom if you'd be eaten of the tree of life and reject the other tree altogether, see? Yeah, stay that way all your life, see? That's right. Keep on the right tree all your life. And you'll see that you're changing and you're being molded, made into his image, and that things are taking place in you that will glorify the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And really, that we're here to glorify him. We're here to become like him. We're training for reigning both now and in eternity, right? We're going to reign with him in life through one Christ Jesus now. And we're going to also reign in eternity through Christ Jesus forever. These are awesome truths, folks. And we need to recognize the greatness of what God has given us, each one of us who's been born again. We need to recognize the glory of what's been given to us and the position that God has given us in Christ Jesus today through the righteousness which is of faith, not by works of righteousness which you've done, but the righteousness which is by faith. See, we need to recognize the glory of that kind of righteousness. See, it's not about going out here and establishing your own self-righteousness by your good works and trying to attain some position with God and please God, brown-nosed God, all these things that people try to do to earn something with God. That's not what it's about. It's about resting in him and his righteousness that he's given you as a gift. And we're clothed with a robe of righteousness right now. We stand in that, and we stand confidently, that so confident that we can come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need. See, and I don't know about you, but my time of need is all the time. I need him all the time, every day, so I could just live before the throne of grace because I need him so much all the time, see? And I need to be there. My time of need is always. I need him every day, every moment, every hour, every minute, every second. My heart isn't going to beat without him, right? So I would have just lived before the throne of grace and enter into that Sabbath rest before the throne of grace and live in his presence, see? The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. We can be partaking of that because we can live in his presence. Not all Christians live in his presence, but it doesn't say you can't live in his presence. In fact, the Bible said you can come into his presence in a number of places in different ways. It tells us that. So why is it that you wouldn't want to be living in his presence more than you are living in the presence of demons and under the control of demons? Why is it that you wouldn't choose righteousness above self-righteousness? Oh, that's too easy. I got to do something. Yeah, that's your problem. You got to think you got to do something to please God when he's already did it on the cross. He's pleased with you. You're accepted in the beloved. You've been brought in into the holy presence of the Father and seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places spiritually right now. See? And so you are in position and you live your life from God, not for him, because if you're doing it for him, again, you're eating from the wrong tree. You're doing it you're in self-righteous condition, see? But I don't want to be in a self-righteous condition. I'm going to be in his righteousness condition all the days of my life. I'm going to rest in that. What about you? If you're not there, you could be there. It's not anything you have to do to be there except believe, right? Believe and know that you've received by the blood of Jesus, right, that we are made righteous. Just receive that righteousness of God tonight. If you haven't received it, just receive it. and live in it. Just renounce that self-righteous spirit, that self-righteousness of trying to earn and bring your way in. You can't do that, okay? And live a successful Christian life, a victorious Christian life, because it'll always be a hindrance to you. See, that self-righteousness, see, even though you think you're doing it to please God, you think you're doing it to honor him, but really you're doing it out of a work of the flesh. And the works of the flesh is no good thing, and it's not going to stand. Circumcision profiteth nothing, right? Hallelujah. That's it for tonight. Father, we thank you. Praise you. Hallelujah. You're a good God. I love you so much. I appreciate you so much, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father. I love you, Holy Spirit, tonight and every night and every day. And I just want to tell you that. And I know that you love me because you've told me so many, 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 many times. And so I just praise you that I'm no different than any other brother and sister, that they could receive all that I've received and more. Some of them are receiving more than me even. Praise God for that. I pray that people do receive more, but I want more too in the meantime, because I'm not giving up for more. I'm expecting more every day, more of Jesus, more of his ways, more of his understanding, spiritual understanding about things. Thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for it every day. I thank you for greater understanding. I thank you for spiritual life increasing and increasing and increasing until that perfect day when you come or I go be with you. Hallelujah. I thank you for revelation knowledge. I thank you that you're giving that to the people, that if they'll seek you and ask you for it, they'll get it. Hallelujah. And how do we seek you, Lord? With the power of your spirit, because we can't do it apart from you, because we've tried that and it hasn't worked. So isn't it time that we come into your presence by your spirit and seek you by your spirit and not by the abilities of the flesh, the false abilities, the dead-end abilities of the flesh, Father? Forgive us for that. But wash us of the blood from trying to see God with our flesh rather than in the spirit. And, Lord, help us to see that that's a dead-end street, and we're going nowhere doing that. And it's not going to take us into the glorious liberty that you promised us. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we praise you tonight. Praise you for revelation. Praise you for understanding. Praise you for every listener tonight. Bless them. Bless them and their ministries and all that they're involved in life in Christ, that is. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen, folks. All right, we're going to take a little intermission here. We'll come back and do some casting out some demons for a while. Okay? And then we will have to say goodnight, because we will be out of time. But anyway, we'll be back in just a few minutes. Again, we've sent out the newsletters. If any of you don't want to receive the newsletters that are receiving it, please let us know that too, so we could take your name off the mailing list of newsletters that we email out. That way it'll save me time, and I don't want to send them to people who don't want them, that are just getting them month after month. And I mean, not month after month, but it's sent out, you know, 6 times a year. So no point in sending it to people that don't want it. So, but we sent them out this week to everybody who has, that we have their email address, at least current. We've had a few come back, so their email address must no longer be current. But if you'd like to receive, just send us an email and let us know that you'd like to receive the newsletter. All right, let's do some deliverance here today. We have a little bit of time here left. Hallelujah. And we still get lots of requests for people for deliverance and coming for deliverance and all this still going on. People need deliverance, okay? That's an important part of their life. But, you know, a lot of times they don't understand enough about it, and they're trying to get free without, you know, doing any faith walking themselves. And that doesn't always work right, okay? There's part to it that we have to engage the Holy Spirit and let it bring some freedom here through changes in our lives so we can keep our deliverance when the demons come out. And that's something a lot of people are just not willing to go through. And they just want the demons out. They want it easy peasy. Let somebody else get them out, and then everything's, you know, taken care of. They don't have any more problems. And that's not what deliverance is all about. No, you got to have change take place in your life. You've got to let the Spirit of God put his finger on things and work change in you when these demons come out. Otherwise, you just go back and repeat the same stuff again, and demons will come back in after they come out. And really, the idea is to get them out and keep them out, right? All right, so let's just deal with some. If you were raised in a strict family, we're going to come against that spirit that got on you through your father, your mother, or whoever, grandparents, was so strict, and they gave you the wrong view of God. You know, like the home where the daughter couldn't even pick up the scissors and cut something on Sunday. They were so legalistic that, oh, that's a sin. You can't even pick up the scissors. And yet the disciples picked grain when they were hungry on the Sabbath day, and they were condemned for that because, hey, people eat, you know. All right. So that strict spirit, we rebuke that strict spirit. You come out of there right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go right now, all the way out. Come out of there. Go in the name of Jesus, all the way out, all the way up out of there. All that strict spirit that you picked up through your family, you know, if you were raised in a family that had a strict father, strict mother, whatever, strict grandparents that brought this spirit of religion onto you, that presents a picture of God that is not accurate. Come out of there right now in the name of Jesus, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus and come out of there. We break the curse of religion and legalism, the curse of that earn your way, do this and do that, try to make yourself this and that, and thinking that that's being a Christian. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, up and out. In Jesus' name, go right now. All that strict spirit, all that religious harshness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. That religious harshness, come out in Jesus' name. I bind you. I break your hold. You come out all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there, all the way up out of there. Go, go, go. Come out, 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 come out. Come all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Up and out, up and out, all the way up out of there right now in the name of Jesus. go. That religious spirit, come out. That religious spirit, we bind you, come out. In the name of Jesus, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Take a few coughs. Get it moving all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. All those religious spirits, all the harshness, all that legalism, come out of there. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out. All that self-righteousness, you come out. We break that curse of self-righteousness and eating from the wrong tree. Come out of there. All that self-righteousness, go, 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 go. Partaking of that, come out. Letting it reign in your life and having its way with you. Come out. All that self-righteousness, we renounce you and break the curse of self-righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not self-righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No, that doesn't even make sense. Come out of there, all the way out. All that self-righteous spirit, come out, 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 come out. Often there's pride involved. When there's self-righteousness, there's pride, because listen, you're doing it. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. That superiority, come out, all the way out, all the way out, come out. All that self-righteous spirit, that superiority spirit, that prideful spirit, you come out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out in the name of Jesus. Right now, loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go all the way out. Come out, 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 out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Loose them, loose them, and let them go. Come out in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. I bind you. Keep coming out. Come on, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. All that self-righteousness, go, go. That spirit of weariness, some of you feel it weary. Been a long fight. You've been in the battles. You've had to deal with different things in your life and in life, period. We command that spirit of weariness. Yeah, yeah. The enemy's trying to make life hard. He's trying to make things hard for you. Come out of that. We rebuke that spirit of weariness. Yeah, you come out of there. All that spirit of weariness, being weary, being worn out, feeling worn out, come out, 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 out. In Jesus' name, come out. Weariness, feeling worn out, come 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 out. Dealing with things at work, dealing with things that just keep coming up, different things, come out of there, trying to wear on you. The Bible says that Satan's going to try to wear out the saints in the last days. Yeah, so we're just not going to allow that to take place. He's not going to win. In Jesus' name, we have authority over him, and we rebuke him. He's not going to wear me out. He's not going to wear you out if you don't receive it, okay? Don't receive his wearings on you. Don't receive that. Come out of there. All that weariness and trying to wear on you, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. All that weariness, go. All that weariness, come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, go. Yes, some people have said it's been hard years so far for them. So we rebuke these spirits that are trying to make this your life hard and make it just look so impossible. Come out of there. Come out. Come out. You're a liar, devil. You're a liar. You know, we just going to keep rejoicing in the Lord, and we're going to rebuke the devils and tell them, no, you're not going to make my life hard. You're not going to wear me out. You're not going to prevail against me in Jesus' name. We rebuke that spirit of weariness. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Come out, 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 weariness. Come out of there. We're talking to you, demon. You do what you're told. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, weariness. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Come on, all the way. Keep moving out of there. That weariness, in Jesus' name, you've got to go. You've got to go all the way out, all the way out. That fear of failure, fearing the failure, you know, that can come in through a legalistic household, through a strict household. Fear of failure. Come out right now. You're fearful of failing God. Oh, I might fail you, God. I don't want to fail you, God. Well, of course we don't want to fail God, but hey, God is going to bring us through. He's going to direct the steps of the righteous. Come out of there. Fear of failure. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. You spirit of fear, failure, come out. Fear that you're a failure, fear of failing, come out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. Come out, fear of failure. You have to come out. I bind you. I break your hold. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus and loose them and let them go right now. Move, 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 up and out, up and out, up and out. Fear of failure, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, fear of failure. Come on, you living in the fear of failure, then, you know, the enemy's going to make sure you fail because you open the door through that fear of failure, right? He's going to make sure there's failure. He's going to make sure you don't do things right when you live in fear of failure under that demon, okay? Come out of there, all the way out, go. We break the curse of fear of failure, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. And you're not a failure, of course, because you're a child of God. And, you know, God doesn't have any, you know, children that are failures because they're all children of God. They're all the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, in spite of the attacking sins, their besetting sins, okay, in spite of that, you know, you're still born again and the blood of Jesus cleanses you and you can confess them, you could deal with them, you know, and by the Spirit of God in you. And be cleansed from all unrighteousness. You know, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Everything, right? Everything. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. We just break soul ties tonight with ungodly people that they need to be cut off from. Okay? Some people just are trying to stay in soul ties to people that are just going to continue to do you wrong, okay, and continue to not be good for you. And some of you know who I'm talking about right away. Others, you'll have to think about that. Okay? But in the name of Jesus, we just cut and sever and break every soul tie with people that are not good for you to have your soul tied with. Okay? In the name of Jesus, we break and cut and sever those ties tonight. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command any spirit that came in through that soul tie to come out right now. Come out. 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 We break the tie. We send the angel to cut it, sever it. Amen. Yeah, in Jesus' name, you got to go. Everything that came in through that soul tie, being connected with that individual, you come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, up and out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. Spirit of anger, you come out. You're angry at somebody tonight. You have rage in you towards somebody, murder in you towards somebody. You come out of there. That is not the Spirit of God, okay? The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God, okay? So you recognize that and recognize what it is and that it doesn't have godly intentions. Because it can't work the righteousness of God because it's the wrath of man, okay? Now, there's the wrath of God. That's a different thing. But there's the wrath of man and of the flesh that is not going to do you any favors, okay? It's only going to bring you into problems. So you come out of there. Go. All that anger, all that rage, come out. Come out. All that anger, rage, come out of there, all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus, you go right now. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Jesus' name, go, go, go. That spirit of inability to function, you come out. It's like paralyzing you. Or you're not able to function like you did at one time in life and you're feeling like something is messing with you and you can't function like you should. Come out of there. Come out. All that spirit of inability to function. Come out in Jesus' name right now. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. All that inability to function. You have to go in Jesus' name. Up and out, up and out, up and out of there, up and out of there, in Jesus' name, all the way out. We break that curse over you of inability to function. You come out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, the blood of Jesus. Go, 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 all the way out. All the way out. Spirit of heaviness, you come out of people right now. That spirit of heaviness, feeling like a weight is on you. Some kind of weight got on you somehow. That spirit of heaviness, come out right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. You heaviness spirit, come out. Like a cloud is over you, a dark cloud hanging over you. Come out of there right now. That spirit of heaviness, that dark cloud over you, come out. Come out in Jesus' name right now. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come all the way out. All the way out right now. Go, go right now. Come out. Spirit of heaviness, come out. Spirit of the dark cloud over you, come out. All the way out, Jesus' name. All the way out, feeling that you're a dark person, that you can't help thinking that you're a dark person and you're dark inside. Come out. All that spirit. I'm talking about the darkness of the enemy. Come out. Hot, dark complexion. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go. All that dark person spirit. Come out. 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 Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out all the way in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out, up and out of there. Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, loose them and let them go. In Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out. Go, the dark cloud, go, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 the heaviness, go, go, the darkness, go. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of death, you go. Come out, all the way out, go, 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 go. Go in Jesus' name. Go. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of death. Go in Jesus' name. Working death in your life in some manner. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. That spirit of shyness, you come out right now. You say, well, I'm the shy type. Well, give me the chapter verse for that. The Bible doesn't say that. Bible says the righteous are bolder than a lion, right? So get that spirit out right now. Let's get rid of it. The shyness. All that shyness, go right now. All that shyness in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out. The spirit of shyness all the way out. Jesus wasn't shy, okay? Come out of there. Go, go, go. Come out, 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 come out. Come on, all that shyness, you have to loose them and let them go all the way out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. All that shyness in Jesus' name. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out in Jesus' name. All that shyness, you got to go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out of Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Got to go. Fear of people. Fear of people. Some people are afraid of their husband and they're afraid of their wife. Come out of there. I mean, listen, you shouldn't be afraid of the one that you live with in your own home, right? Some people are afraid of their children that, oh, they're going to reject me. They're not going to love me. So I got to just, you know, let them get away with murder, you know, whatever they want to do just so they'll love me. Come on. You're afraid of them then. You're afraid you're going to lose their love. You're afraid that, you know, they aren't going to like you. Come out of there. So you just let them get away with whatever. Come out. That's not going to do it, okay? That's going to make them think you don't love them because children and young people need correction and direction. Come out of there. All the way out. Go. The Bible says that in Proverbs a number of times. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Not abused, but they need correction. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 go. All that fear of people, come out. Fear of people, come out all the way out. Go in Jesus' name, up and out, up and out, up and out of there, up and out of there. Keep moving out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Go. All that fear of people, come out. Fear of people, got to go all the way up out of there. Move in the name of Jesus right now. move in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 all the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Spiritual laziness. Spiritual lethargy. Not wanting to read your Bible. Not wanting to take time for prayer and praying in tongues and getting in the presence of the Lord. Come out of there right now. That spirit that is blocking you in that area that tries to make you go to sleep or always have something else to do. Come on, you get out of there. That hindering spirit, hindrance to reading the word, hindrance to prayer time, hindrance to praying in tongues and spending time in the spirit. Come out of there. Come out, 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 come up out of there, all the way out in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Come on out of there. Move in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All those hindering spirits that are hindering spirituality, trying to hinder you from growing and glowing more with the Spirit of God. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. Up out of there. Move. 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 Keep moving in Jesus' name. Keep moving up and out. Up and out of there. Move. Move. All those hindering spirits got to go right now. Got to go. 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 Hindering the Bible study. Hindering to spending time with Jesus. Come out. Always something to do. Always some distraction. That's a demon, folks. It's always distracting you, always keeping you away. I make it a priority, and I just do it because I do it by the power of the Spirit. I'm determined, and God, when you walk by faith, that you're determined to do something in faith, you just are able to do things that you couldn't do before because the Spirit of God empowers you because you believe. See, as your faith is beat unto you, Jesus said. So, hey, we could say the same thing today. It's true. So come on out of there. Go. All those hindering spirits trying to block it. Any kind of occult spirits from the past, in the family line or in yourself that block it. You come out too. We break the curse. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way up out of there. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for deliverance tonight. We thank you for the broadcast tonight, the live service here together with everybody that's tuning in live tonight, Lord. We thank you for blessing each one that listens, Father. Let their life change this year for the better. Let them get greater victory than they ever had, Father. Let them begin to see things in the Spirit, see things that they hadn't seen before. Their eyes, their understanding will be open, Father, and they will grow and glow by the power of the Spirit of God, and they will be blessed in this year, Father, in ways that perhaps they've never been blessed before, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22, that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. We thank you for that blessing and seal this deliverance to those who have received tonight. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. All right, well, good to be here with you folks. Thank you for being here. The OasisCommunityChurch.com is a website, or you can write to me at P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana. 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. God bless, and we will see you next week. I trust. There for those who still hear me. Some people can, some people can't. When we get past the 8 o'clock point here, well, 8 o'clock mountain time. I don't know what it is where you live, but it's 8 o'clock mountain, which is 9 o'clock central, right? So, and then 7 o'clock back in the west. All right, eastern, yeah, it's 10 o'clock. So, bless you folks on the east coast and Florida and the other states there that have listeners. Appreciate all of you, really, every one of you, and appreciate you taking time here to be a part of this. And I know that the Lord is going to bless his people for hearing the word and applying it in their life by the power of the Spirit of God in them. I know that. It's up to you what you do with it. I'm just here presenting it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So the rest is up to you. It's in your hand now. Once it's been presented, it's you and the Lord, what you do with it. And the enemy could steal the word if you let him, or you can hold on to it by the power of the Spirit of God and let it be applied into your life. And application brings freedom, that's for sure. Amen. All right. Well, does the Lord have anything he wants to say tonight before I go? Yeah, just hold fast to him is what I'm hearing in my spirit. Hold fast to the Lord. It's easy to get distracted and hold on to other things, but the Lord is saying just hold fast to him. Yeah, hold tight to him. Don't let yourself get pulled away. Hold fast to him. He's going to take care of you. You let him. And you hold on to him with everything that you have, everything that you are. You hold on to him. That's right. By the Spirit of God, you can do that. Amen. Amen. All right. Anything else, Lord, tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Give your frustration to Jesus. That's one thing I've got here is, someone needs to give that frustration to the Lord and give that care to him and quit being frustrated. Just need to stop that. There's no reason for that, okay? I know there's a reason in your own mind, in your own life, but the Lord says just give it to him and quit doing that. It's just not good for you. It's not spiritually healthy for you. Amen. And God will give you the grace to do it. He'll give you the ability by the Spirit of God in you to look to Him. Amen. God doesn't want you living a frustrated life. He wants you living a victorious life. That's what He called you to. Well, amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, good night, folks. We'll see you back next week. Love you all. Good to have you here, Dustin Pollux. Thank you for being here. And you're welcome, brother. Thank the Lord. All right. All right, good night, all of you. And we will see you back next week, Lord willing, and I believe.